This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Heather Cannon from Tampa, Florida.
And I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June the 28th, episode 1461. And we're brought to you today by Horseware. Good morning, Horse World.
And it's rodeo time, ladies. Let's ride.
It's Women in Rodeo Tuesday with Heather Cannon, where it's Ladies' Day every day.
It's the rodeo show.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday morning. Of course, we're brought to you today by Horseware. Heather is here on Horses in the Morning on the fourth Tuesday of every month, bringing you the latest from women in rodeo. We're hoping that you are ready for the ride. We have a lot to hear about today. We have a lot of guests lined up, and Heather has some new horses, so we're going to talk about that, too, all on today's show. But first, Jennifer, what is coming up?
You just told everybody what's coming up.
Yeah, I didn't say who. That's your job. You're just saying who. I just give them overview.
First up, we've got Jessica Sienz, who seems to be going for the world record most number of disciplines in the rodeo industry competed, and she's a bronc rider. Totally cool. And then after that, we are going to be joined by Megan Swint, who is heading out to do rodeos, and she's balancing that whole family rodeo thing. And she's probably got some really good helpful hints for us. And last but not least, Gina Allen is going to stop by, and she is with the Miss Rodeo America company. It's not a company. It's the organization, Miss Rodeo America organization. And she's got the latest and greatest from those folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. But first, we have to talk about important things. And the important things, Heather, are since we talked to you 1 month ago, you have two new horses.
Yes, and actually,
two.
It has been a ride. We got them all or both within, I think, a couple weeks of each other. So Sierra got hers first, and then Savannah just recently got hers on Friday. So it's been quite exciting and a little trying as well.
So tell us about the first one.
So the first one is Maggie, and she's an appendix. And I have to say, when we went to look at Maggie, keep in mind, Sierra is only nine and she's just a little bitty thing. And when they brought this horse out, she was about 16 hands. My first thought was absolutely not. She's way too big. And then they bring her out and I may pronounce this wrong, but she rides with, is it a Basel?
Yep.
Okay. So she rides with a Basel. And calm as could be, Sierra took her out. She trotted her, rode her all over the place. Just she climbs up on the fence and the horse will just, you know, walk right over to her and lean up against the fence so she can climb on. Just great disposition, wonderful horse. And so we fell in love and we bought her. Well, bring her home and now she's by herself and there's a couple horses across the road and she just freaks out when she sees the other horses because she's lonely. So then I was hoping that her attitude, I guess you could say, would change when we brought a new horse home. So fast forward to Friday, we bring home Roxy, Savannah's new horse.
Yeah, Savannah's a little older or younger?
She is. She's 13. And so she wants to ride barrels. Sierra doesn't want nothing to do with barrels right now. So Roxy is a barrel horse, very calm disposition. I watched a video of her coming down the alleyway and she just kind of trots out, no throwing her head up and acting crazy. Very calm and will let you touch her all over. Love, you know, because the first one, I can't even touch her ears right now, but this one I can touch her ears and, just sweet as can be. She runs about 15.5 on the barrels, which is nice. Great bloodlines. And anyways, I was warned that she was the head honcho in her pasture and not always the nicest. We'll bring her home to Maggie, and Maggie rules the roost. Maggie,
you got two alpha mares. Oh, yeah, cool.
That's fun.
Yes, and it has been interesting. Maggie went into heat, and has just been a handful. I'm actually kind of worried. I have to keep Sierra away from her, so we'll see what happens. I don't know. It's been an interesting time. She kicked a board out of the barn yesterday, so we'll see. I don't know.
What's the Omega Alpha product, Jennifer? Omega Alpha
Premier.
Premier.
Yeah, hook me up. I need something.
Yeah.
You need some Premier.
You need some Premier. That's pretty much what it's for.
Okay. So explain it to me. What is that? What's it do? Just calms her?
But what it does, it balances out the hormones and the hormone receptors.
Okay.
Because what tends to make mares especially difficult when they come into heat is there are more hormones being put out than there are receptors to receive them.
Right.
And okay. What it does is it
so her neighbor
the body
receives
create,
them.
Yes, her neighbor receives them in the form of a hoof. So it encourages the body to create more receptors.
Uh huh.
So that it helps to balance that out. So you're going to even out the really radical behavior patterns, so that their heat will be more within norms when you have mares that are super duper grumpy or super duper weird versus just normal weird.
Right.
So, and that's really the stupidest way to explain it. Dr. Chang's much better at it. And
well, but
I think that's something you should check into.
Okay. Yeah.
It's great stuff. It's perfect. And it's all natural. It's all safe. You don't have to wear rubber gloves to use it, and it doesn't test. So it's safe for competition too.
Nice. Well, my two concerns are, number one, I hope that her disposition changes once she's out of heat. Number two, I'm hoping the way she acts when she sees the neighbor's horses, like when they ride by, the way she acts, I'm hoping that goes away, because as of right now, I wouldn't put Sierra on her in fear that when she sees the other horses, she could throw her. So those are my two concerns.
That's not good.
I know. So what I want to do is I want to get on her.
Happy juice involved.
I want to get on her and tell the neighbors, hey, go ride your horses and let me see what this girl does. So
yeah,
we'll see.
That's a good idea.
Yeah,
hopefully I'm not.
And you're
going to
wear your helmet
time.
When you do this, right, Heather?
Yeah. And hopefully I'm not telling you next time that I got thrown.
Yeah, I would say that the kids need to wear helmets and you need to wear a helmet. There is helmets all around for these horses.
Yeah. So, but anyways, we've got some hot topics, a couple more hot topics to cover today. The Racer's Edge TV show has a new series starting on July 6th. This show airs on Wednesday nights on RFD TV and takes you on a behind-the-scenes journey with some of the biggest names in barrel racing. Miss Rodeo America is taking over the Greeley Hatworks Snapchat today. They're having a pizza party and giving away tickets to tonight's Greeley Stampede. And rounding out our hot topics, the National Little Britches Rodeo Association finals start July 5th through the 10th at the Lazy E Arena in Guthrie, Oklahoma. The NLBRA is a youth rodeo for ages 5 to 18. And I know a young lady that will be competing for their queen contest. So,
isn't Greeley in Colorado?
The Greeley Stampede
is in Colorado.
Okay.
Yeah, we're heading to Colorado on our vacation this year, so I've been looking all around Colorado. But yeah, the Greeley Stampede's out there. It's big, I think.
And there is that Greeley Hat Works. They're one of the sponsors for Miss Rodeo America. So. Ah,
okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, we can go see a stampede while we're out there, Jennifer.
That's right. It's something different.
It's a rodeo at the stampede, but you know what I mean. Well, now you have a segment here that I thought was kind of fun.
Yeah. You know, in the past, I've been doing a more businessy type segment, but I didn't want to be tied to one thing. So I reached out to listeners yesterday and said, what do you suggest I call this segment? And I had a lot of great input. And the one I really liked was Around the Barrel with Heather. So that's the new segment. And who knows what I'll share. Yeah, I like it. So one thing I found that I thought was fun for today.
Maybe not on
the
mare right away, the first mare. Maybe, you know, safely around the barrel with Heather.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Or maybe not at all.
Yeah. Let's hope that doesn't happen accidentally either.
Yeah. So today we're sharing 10 favorite quotes from the May issue of the Barrel Horse News. And some of these I thought were pretty cool. So the first one is actually from Sherry Servey, and it says, I think you work hard and eventually it does pay off. I totally agree with that one. Number two, you learn
sometimes eventually is a lot longer than other eventuallys. You know, eventually sometimes takes a lot longer.
I agree with that too. or some of us give up before eventually happens.
Right, exactly. That's what happens most of the time, I think.
Number two, you learn to be grateful for the good times because sometimes you don't have that horse that can get you to that top level. So I appreciate the horses I've been able to ride because that's really the best part about the whole thing is the relationships and the horses that I've had. And that was Sherry Servey too. And I think that's a good one. Number three, you just can't take any dirt and put it in there. You know, we test our dirt and make sure that we've got the best in there. And that was from a rodeo director. And so I learned something. I had no clue they test the dirt that goes in to the arena. Well, did you know that?
What do they test it for?
I don't know. I want to ask that.
Maybe, is it a drug test? Yeah, is it a test? They take a pulse. We need to have somebody who's an expert on dirt on.
Yeah, we need to have Steve Money on to find out from the Spanish Fork Fiesta Days Rodeo.
Yeah. Number four, quarter cracks happen because the horse's weight isn't being distributed evenly over the hoof. So there's more weight to one side of the hoof than the other. And that's from farrier Pete May. Number five, it's a misconception that you will never have to clean or oil your tack and it'll last forever. I don't know where that one started.
It started with old lazy cowboys, I think.
I never thought that, though.
That's been around for a long time.
I don't know anybody who ever thought that.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. I think it started with old lazy cowboys. I've heard that one before, but.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Number six, bootmaking is an inexact science. It ain't like building a house or laying bricks because you've got to fit the customer's head as well as the feet. Bootmaker J.R. Kanzler. Now, I don't get that one either.
I don't either.
The head and the feet.
The
I don't know.
Feet. Maybe it's because, never put a boot on my head.
But because it's what...
that's the problem I'm having with that.
You're thinking you want. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe because these guys also get custom cowboy hats? I don't know.
No, I think it's fixed. I think, I don't know. It's what they're envisioning that they want, maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Number seven.
See, that's the problem. It was too philosophical for us.
I know.
Too early for that deep. Yeah,
I'm only one cup of coffee in.
Yeah, that's right.
Number seven. I'm not really a fist pumper, but when I heard that time and then I replayed that time in my head, I thought, oh, man, that's going to be pretty tough to beat. So I kind of did some fist pumping, and that's Ryan Padone. Number eight, she's never worked so smooth and snappy. I just knew if she kept herself together that she was going to make a good run. That was Kaylee Rutledge. Number nine, it's fun to watch her win. Ivy Conrado and Tibby had the winter that people dream of. They kept their composure and made run after run. What they're doing is something that inspires you. I'm behind Ivy in the standings, but watching her win makes me try harder. They are such an awesome team, and I think that what they've got is what everyone behind them is striving for. And that was from Jackie Ganter. And then number 10, don't allow someone else to decide what you are capable of. You decide what you want to accomplish. And that was Amberly Snyder.
That's
so true. Thought there were some good ones and some interesting ones in there.
So some we don't get. Why we're putting boots on our heads. We're not sure about that one, but...
Right. Oh, goodness.
But we don't always have to get all of them, so...
That's right.
Well, now, you... I see you went way too fast off of these new horses of yours. So now the older daughter does want a barrel race, and this horse is barrel race. So is she going to be starting in training soon?
Well... She is pretty green herself and has a lot to learn. So it'll be a while before she's doing any barrels. But yes, that is on one of her goals. And she's also interested in mounted shooting.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah.
Yeah. So the horse we bought, though, has never been, nothing's been shot off of this horse. But it lived next to a gun range. So it's
should be used to it anyway.
Right. Totally.
Let's not shoot near the other one for a while.
And oh no. Well, you know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about this weekend, July 4th.
Oh, yeah. This is always a bad weekend around here.
Yeah.
And
around my house, it goes all night. So I am a little concerned. Mm-hmm.
When we lived in Lexington, Kentucky, it was the worst I've ever seen. From our backyard, you could literally, because full-size fireworks are legal there. And from our backyard, you could watch complete fireworks displays on all directions.
Well, that happens at my house, even though it shouldn't.
I forgot that's coming up. You're right. That's like next week.
Right.
Yeah. All the people will have to start getting, and I guess the fireworks displays will be this weekend because the 4th is on Monday.
Exactly. It's going to be all weekend. It's going to be interesting.
I didn't think about that. I forgot all about the 4th coming up that quick, actually.
Yep.
The time flies. All right. Let's hear from one of our sponsors, and then we're going to come back with our first guest.
In the world of horse racing and elite equestrian sports, it's all about how to prepare and repair. Ice5 is a truly portable and highly efficient circulation therapy system for your horse. Before activity, prepare to prevent damage by using the Ice5's vibration pads. Repair after the event by using the unique combination of cold packs and vibration to minimize swelling and encourage blood flow. And because it's battery powered, Ice5 is truly portable. The essential and affordable tool to prepare and repair. Ice5.
You can find out more details about Ice5 at ice-vibe.com or horseware.com, or ask your local tack shop or online supplier for more information about Ice5 circulation therapy from Horseware.
Well, next up, we have with us bronc rider, barrel racer, and Norco PRCA rodeo arena director, Jessica. Good morning, Jessica.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. Can you just confirm for me the correct way to say your last name? I was so afraid of butchering it.
I'm used to it my whole life. No, last name is pronounced Signs.
Signs. Okay.
Oh, nice. I wouldn't have said that, so I'm glad you clarified.
I know. Yeah.
I was going to say Sains. I'm like, I'm going to butcher it.
Hey, Heather, before you get started, I'm going to hijack your interview here for a second.
Okay.
So, Jessica, we spent a week, actually, they brought us out to Norco a couple of years ago, and we spent a week there doing the shows from Norco, and we loved it. You live right in town?
Yeah, I do, actually. Moved there when I was a kid, so I pretty much grew up in Norco. And it is just a little hidden gem in the middle of the huge city of, you know, of Riverside County, really. So you wouldn't expect a little horse town to be in Southern California.
And it's so different, Heather, because every backyard is about a quarter to half an acre. And they all have horses. Just everybody has horses in this
town.
And it was so cool. They really treated us right when we went out there for a week. They took us and we trail rode up to have lunch and put the horses in the little paddock they have there at all the restaurants. That was fun.
Oh, I want to go.
That was fun. Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. Now, they had just built the big arena up on top of the hill when we were there. And I guess that's in full use right now, right?
It is, yeah. They use that all year long. That's actually where we have our PRCA rodeo. We have a ranch rodeo there in April as well. So there's functions going on there all year long, whether it's T-ropings, barrel racings. It's busy all the time. So it's great for the community.
Now, the other question I have for you, Jessica, is I saw your picture, and you have a beautiful smile with great teeth, and I'm kind of wondering how you still have teeth with bronc riding.
Let's just say I know how to fall really well.
I guess.
Or bad, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. I've been worried about getting smacked in the face, you know, with the horse's head or neck. That's what, ugh.
So while we're talking about that, Glenn posted the picture of you and your last wreck. And from what I gathered, you weren't even going to ride that day. So tell us the story behind that picture.
So it's such a funny story. I have a really good friend with CB Rodeo Productions who actually puts on these Ironman Ranch Bronc Ridings. It was the second annual, and this year they wanted to do a women's invitational. They've been trying to get women involved in the ranch bronc riding for a while and just haven't really been able to get it going. Well, I have some girlfriends who've been saying for a long time they want to get on. So that's how we ended up there in the first place. And there's about three girls who didn't show up. And, you know, the number dwindled down from six to, I think, about four.
By the way, so I'd be the woman that didn't show up.
Yeah.
Right?
Go ahead.
Well, that was my problem. I mean, I go to watch, have a good time, and then all of a sudden they're like, we really need you to enter. Do you think you can fill this spot? And I'm like, no, absolutely not. I definitely don't want to do that. You know, so good old peer pressure. They got me convinced. And, you know, I wasn't ready. I didn't have any of my stuff. I had nothing. And the Iron Men that were there competing were so awesome. They all stepped in. I had about four different guys who stepped up to the plate and helped me. They gave me their saddles, their spurs, their hat, everything that I needed. You know, the camaraderie in an event like that is so impressive. It's something that I won't ever forget. And I tell you what, like the adrenaline rush that you get, it's like something you've never felt in your entire life. It was awesome. I'm really glad I did it. I mean, it sucked that I drew one of the rankest ones in the pin. The guys were like, oh my, that thing should have been in the men's finals pin. But what are you going to do?
They didn't tell you that before you rode, did they?
No, they didn't know. They actually, they brought in like, you know, horses that weren't quite as ranked as what the men were going to ride. Because a lot of us, it was our first time out, you know, and they want us to get comfortable. They want us to learn. Well, I drew the short stick that day, and it was just a colt that hadn't really been bucking. They didn't think he was going to make it as a really strong bucker. Well, little Pinto grew up that day, and he became a man, and I was the test dummy.
You know what? It was very dramatic, though, the pictures.
Yeah. And it's so funny because there was 70-plus rides that weekend, and I think my wreck, I got 10 to 1 the amount of pictures as everybody else.
Well, the photographer caught you mid-air in several poses, and I posted the one where your head is heading to the ground, and your feet are like up in the air. Right. Yeah, that was interesting there.
So
did a little gymnastics. Yeah. I mean, not only a bronc rider, but a gymnast as well.
Was the ground hard, by the way?
You know, I landed so fast that tried to bounce right back up. You know, I don't bounce as well as I used to, but yeah, it was pretty hard.
So this wasn't your first time bronc riding. You've done it several or many times, right?
No, actually, it was my first time.
It was. Okay.
It was very first time.
Wow. So you had no prior training, no nothing?
Nothing. Nope. Oh, nothing at all. And
you were brave. You were brave.
Yeah. You know, I've ridden horses almost my whole life, and you've ridden horses that buck and young horses, but it's nothing like getting on a bronc that knows what it's doing. You know, it's a completely different feel. You know, the way that they drop and they come out of the bucking shoe, it's completely different than anybody could ever expect. So I wouldn't suggest anybody just go jump on a bronc, you know, get help and talk to somebody. And there's people that are willing to help. So I've had some people reach out to me already.
That was one of my questions is if you have a listener listening right now and they're interested or think they're interested, what would be their next step? What would you suggest?
Well, I would suggest the next step being either to go look and find a clinic. There's a lot of guys that will put on bronc riding clinics. Or even just go to one of the events. If you go look up CB Rodeo Productions on Facebook and even the Western States Ranch Rodeo Association, they'll post all the upcoming rodeos. Just go to one of them. Go take a look and see. They'll let you back behind the chutes. You can talk to the rodeo producer, the stock contractor, and they'll get anybody that wants to get involved in touch with somebody that's willing to give you lessons or give you help. And everybody is so helpful, so friendly, so open about teaching people. They want to grow the sport. And that's what's awesome about it, is that anywhere you go in the rodeo industry, whether it's ranch rodeos, pro rodeos, people are going to reach out and help you because they want to continue the interest in getting people involved.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure that picture I posted is going to help.
That's
just saying.
I think that's
That might not get people like eager to jump on, but I tell you what, I mean, everybody's excited about it. If I'd have known that all I had to do was get bucked off a horse to get on a radio show, I would have done it a long time ago.
You know, we could have got you on without the hurt and the pain. Just saying.
Yes. Just because of that.
Right.
Actually, Chad Prather, I had reached out to him and said, you know, I want to talk to some girls that ride broncs, and he gave me your name. So mm-hmm. He's a good guy, and I'm glad that he put us in touch. So,
yeah, he was excellent. He was our guest announcer there at the event. He was super funny, really cool guy. And, yeah, just not to deter anybody, I'm ready to get on my next bronc. So, you know, it's a fun, exciting experience.
Now, these had, you were in full saddle, which isn't always the case, right?
Right, yeah. So normally when you ride like regular saddle broncs, you're going to be in, you know, like association saddle where you're not going to have that horn on
right,
the front.
Right.
We did the ranch bronc riding. So in the ranch bronc riding, it's more of like the old time, like when you're starting colts on the ranch or something. So you're in a full saddle. You can use any kind of saddle that you want. And then you can also double grab, which is not allowed, you know, in the pro rodeo event. So you can have a night latch to hang on to. You can hang on to your horn. You can also hang on to like a rope tied onto your saddle. And then, of course, you have your bronc rein.
Mm. Oh, see, I like that. I like those rules.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of helps you a little bit. It gives you that added advantage. You know, it's a different style of riding, but, you know, it does give you that extra so that way you can reach down and grab if you feel like you need to.
Now, the Iron Man thing, sorry about this, Heather, but she
no, you're
she
fine.
Got me going here. The Iron Man thing, now these were the actual men doing Iron Man competitions. What's the story there?
So it's a progressive ranch bronc riding, and they had 5 rounds. The guys start out, there's 20 competitors, and then they'll take the top competitors from each, so eliminating the last 5 that either don't make the ride or they score the lowest until they get, you know, the top 5 guys in the finals. And this is over a course of 2 days. So these guys are getting on 5, like the guys that are riding in the finals have gotten on 5 broncs in 2 days. Ugh. It's insane. I have so much respect for them. They're tough.
They don't move for a month afterwards.
That's right.
Right?
Now,
yeah,
that day,
it's super impressive.
Did I read right that day you were part of the Iron Woman competition, mm-hmm. correct? Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. And who won that?
Actually, it was a split win. My friend Carly, who went out with me, it was her second time getting on a bronc. She split the win with Brittany Miller from Montana.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, you are a woman of so many talents. And so I'm just curious, how many different disciplines have you competed in? Tell us about your background.
Well, I actually started riding horses when I was a kid, and it all just kind of started with like trail riding, just for fun. You know, my family liked to horse camp, and then I always liked to go fast. So I wanted to do something else. From there, my parents got me into like little gymkhanas and stuff. And then, you know, I got into barrel racing. I barrel raced for a long time. And then recently I started doing the reined cow horse, which is super awesome. It combines cutting, reining, and then, of course, going down the fence with your cow, which for me, I love because I just like to go fast, almost too fast for the reined cow horse. But it's another one of those things. I'm like a closet adrenaline junkie, apparently.
Reined cow horse is becoming popular too.
Very much.
It
so.
Is. Yeah. Yeah. Your horses have to be super versatile to do it. And I've learned so much. I mean, if I went back to barrel racing now, my horses would be so much more broke and so much handier just from everything I've learned with the reined cow horse.
So how many horses do you have right now?
I actually only have one horse right now. I've never only had one horse. The last summer I sold everything else I had just to focus on my one show horse. So I have her. She's, you know, in training. We went to the World Show last February and just missed making it back to the finals. So this year I'm really focusing on her and getting back to Fort Worth this year and seeing if we can make something happen.
Nice. And when is that? When are the finals again?
That's in February. Yeah.
February.
It's the second and third week of February.
Okay, very nice. And I also saw that you were a rodeo queen. When was that? And tell us about that experience.
I was, yeah. I actually started competing a little later in life. And I did it because at the time I was barrel racing and I wanted to get involved with the rodeos. You know, as a kid, you go to the rodeos and you just want to be around. You know, but I was too young to do anything. You can't barrel race, you know, in the pro rodeos when you're that young. So I started doing rodeo queen pageants just to kind of be involved. And I learned so many life experiences from doing that. I met so many people. It was amazing for me. I got to represent my hometown I did go to compete at Miss Rodeo California. Didn't do so hot. Didn't give myself the preparation that I needed. I didn't know what to expect at a state level pageant, but you know, it was an experience that you can't take away. And so, you know, now I'm still involved with the local Rodeo Queen pageant. My mom's the director. So, I go and I help with the horsemanship side of things. And then, you know, any of the girls that need any help, they come and I give the help back that I got when I was a kid doing it.
Very nice. I work with Miss Rodeo America, the organization, and they have their own segment on the show. And awesome. One thing we talk about a lot is the importance of Rodeo Queens to the industry, you know, getting the word out there. And I'm sure you believe strongly as well that it's important and that they have a huge role.
It's huge. It's huge, you know, and, you know, it's kind of one of those thankless jobs as a Rodeo Queen. People don't always understand what your job is at the actual rodeo, but they're a key player in everything. You know, they're a PR person, they're a spokesperson, they're a role model for any kids who don't know anything about rodeo. So, you know, even when you're walking through an airport and you're fully dressed in your crown and sash, people are going to come up and talk to you. It's easier to approach somebody that looks like that, you know, than maybe a rodeo cowboy that's walking through the airport. You know, you've got the time, you've got the training and the experience to really explain about the sport of rodeo. And I think that's awesome, you know, and I'm really happy to see that the Miss Rodeo America organization is doing so much to keep that alive. And, you know, they really support smaller local pageants and state level pageants to keep girls involved and to keep it going.
Now, I got to imagine, though, Heather, that Norco has an unusual number that compete every year for that, because you're such a horsey town.
Yeah, and actually, we have two different pageants. We have a smaller pageant that represents our Horse Week rodeo, which is just a ranch rodeo, but it's a whole full, you know, week of events. And the girls from that normally move up, then they compete for the PRCA Rodeo Queen pageant. We get girls from all over the place. And what we try to do with the Norco Rodeo Queen pageant is make it like a clinic style. So that way they can learn. We get a lot of girls who've never competed in a pageant before. So we want to give them as much experience and as much training as they can get at our pageant. So if they don't win, they can go on and compete somewhere else and be very competitive. And typically you'll see girls go from the Norco pageant on to other areas and do very well.
Very nice. Do you follow, this may be a dumb question, I don't know. Do you follow pretty much along the guidelines of MRA as far as, you know, the girls need to dress a certain way, skirt length, all of that? You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we follow that so that way, you know, any of the older girls who want to compete the state level,
they can go anywhere.
They're prepared. So, yeah, we typically try to follow the Miss Rodeo California pageant structure, and then that follows the Miss Rodeo America structure as well.
Okay. So you are the Norco PRCA Rodeo Arena Director. Tell me about... that's amazing. And I just imagine that's a really big job and that it entails a lot. Tell us what a typical day is like for you and what all your responsibilities are.
So, you know, when it comes to rodeo time, I don't sleep the entire weekend because you're just going 100 miles an hour from sunup to sundown. But it's super fun. Like I said, I get the opportunity to really work closely with our stock contractor, our announcer, all the contract personnel. You know, just really getting everything lined up. And then the whole production of the rodeo, my committee is amazing and they really give me free rein to do whatever I want. So I get to work with a lot of people in figuring out how we're going to get the production going, you know, from grand entry to the way that all of our events are staggered out, running sponsor flags and stuff, all the way to the closing. So, you know, I stay super busy all the time, working with all the different groups that are involved at the rodeo. We have a really cool grand entry on Sunday. We do, you know, something to kind of help acknowledge all of our military personnel. So we bring in all the recruits and kids that are wanting to get enlisted in the military, and we'll bring in every single branch and they'll march them in and they get sworn in there right in the middle of the arena floor. And it's a really special
event. We just did that. We just did that here locally at the Silver Spur, or it was either the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo. I think it was that one, the RNCFR. we did that. And that was a pretty cool moment. So I have a question. We earlier went over some quotes from Barrel Horse News. And one of the quotes was talking about doing soil sample tests on the dirt that goes into the arena. Do you know why that is done? Or do you know anything about that? Because I was lost on that one.
Yeah, no, I don't know anything about it. I haven't really seen anything of it. But,
okay.
You know, soil sample test, I would imagine, is just to make sure that the ground is right. But, you know, I don't know that anybody's
I was just curious
when it comes to ground.
Right. I just was curious, you know, what goes into that? What are they looking for? So I got to hunt someone down that knows that.
Right. Yes.
So, all righty. Well, hey, Glenn, why don't we do some rapid fire questions real quick?
All right. Jessica, we have some rapid fire questions for you that Heather has put together that she doesn't even know what we're going to ask here. So this should be fun. First of all, your favorite food?
Italian food.
Italian food. Which for the girl from Norco is not the answer I expected.
right? I know.
Your biggest pet peeve?
People chewing loudly.
Oh,
that is
too.
Annoying. That is annoying.
That's my biggest.
I'm with you on that one. Your favorite word that we're allowed to use on the radio?
Outstanding, I guess.
Okay, cool. That's a good word. I won't ask your favorite word that we're not allowed to use on the radio. Although I imagine that on the way down,
you said it a few times
on that, in that picture. So now your favorite song?
Favorite song. My new favorite song is called Them Bronx by Matt Robertson.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard that one yet.
I haven't heard that one either. Yeah. You have to look it up.
It's pretty awesome.
Cool. Very good. Something different. And now, are you a Starbucks person?
I am a Starbucks person because I'm from California and there's a Starbucks on every corner. I can't help it.
And what do you order?
I order the white chocolate mocha.
Me too.
You order a foo-foo drink. A Bronc rider ordering a foo-foo drink.
Oh my gosh. You should see us. When me and my friends showed up from California, they're like, "You girls are not going to get on Bronx. Like, what are you thinking?" We had no idea.
Now, do you ride up to the Starbucks?
No, I haven't ridden up to the Starbucks. You can in Norco. I mean, you can pretty much ride anywhere you want, and they're like, "Okay, what are we doing here today? Okay, we're going to ride your horse to the drive-through." I haven't done it, but yeah, there are some people that have done it. There's pictures. The people riding
I've seen the pictures.
The Starbucks drive through in Norco. Mm-hmm.
Now, how I do the next question, I have to ask your age first. Are you over 21?
I am.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Because the other thing that happens, Heather, in Norco is they all ride to their horses to the bar at night because the horses know the way home. So I need to know if you've ever done that.
I have ridden my horse to the bar.
I knew it.
You have to. I cannot live in Norco and have never ridden my horse to the bar.
I knew that. I knew you may not have done the Starbucks thing, but I knew that you parked your horse outside of the bar. And so, by the way, Heather, it's a bizarre
sight.
It's not
safe to drink and drive. It's safer to drink and ride, okay? At least trying to be responsible.
And does your horse know the way home? Just goes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I knew it.
Yep. See? Regular old campaigner took me right home. No problem.
It's bizarre, Heather. You go by the bars at night and there's like 20. It's like the Old West. There's like 20 horses lined up.
I seriously.
Yeah.
And is drinking and riding, is riding drunk a crime in Norco?
Actually, you can get cited for like public intoxication if you're acting a little bit like too unruly. For the most part, people are pretty mellow. Nobody gets too wild. So.
That is awesome.
Now we learned something new. She'll never answer those questions again. She's not.
I know. Sorry. I mean, at least everybody knows when they come to Norco, they can ride to the bar.
I might have added the bar question at the end. Heather did not have that on her list.
No, I did not. Because I did not ask that.
What's the website? Do you have a website for Norco or for the rodeo or anything?
Yeah. So it's Norco.
NorcoPosseRodeo.com. Jessica, you've been a delight. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
And if everybody wants to see the picture of her airborne, just head over to Horses in the Morning Facebook page. I've posted it there. And it's not a smile that she has on her face on the way down. Thanks, Jessica.
Bye, Jessica. Have a good day. Thanks so much, guys.
Bye.
I do encourage everybody, if you ever get a chance to go to Norco, it is truly a unique experience.
You have sold me.
You will not see it anywhere else in this country that you will in Norco. They really did treat us right. Matter of fact, above me here in the studio, I have the Celebrity Marshal banner. Celebrity Marshals Glenn and Jennifer, Jamie from Horse Radio Network, and we were the Celebrity Marshals in the Christmas parade.
So the question is, did you ride to the bar?
No, we did not ride to the bar. I can say we did do a carriage ride to one night, and that was really cool because it was dark and it was Christmas time, and they took us on a carriage ride through town at night with all the Christmas lights.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was really cold, if I remember right, Jennifer. It was really cold.
It was very cold.
Is it pretty at Christmas?
Yes, it's pretty. Because it's very rustic Old West, you know, town.
Oh, man.
And they must have, what, 25 tack shops? I mean... There's tack shops on every corner, feed stores and tack shops. And it's bizarre because you drive out of, I mean, you're coming basically out of the suburbs of L.A. And then you end up in this town. And it's just horses everywhere. It's something else. And horses in postage size stamp lots that you would not imagine you could even have a horse in. On front porches. I mean, just everywhere. It was something. All right. Well, let's take a break. Speaking of horses, why don't we play a little song while Jennifer gets the next guest ready to go?
We have some Templeton Thompson, Girls and Horses.
All right. Cool.
Well, she talks about him, dreams about him, thinks about him all the time. She's got to have him, be lost without him. You can see it in her eyes. What is it? What is it with girls and horses? She says, now when I was a young girl, they were my whole world. They were my one safe place. Now that I'm older, still lean on their shoulders, I still feel like that girl some days. What is it? What is it with girls? What is yeah.
long, tough fly season is right around the corner. And the only choice for this fly season are the Amigo range of fly sheets, because they're built tough and feature the latest in design comfort, bug-busting technology, and sun-protecting fabrics. And the Amigo range has a fly sheet for every budget, from the Amigo Bug Buster Vamoose with no fly zone to the Amigo Bug Rug fly sheet. Find Amigo fly sheets at your local or online retailer, or you can visit horseware.com. That's horseware, horseware.com.
And Horseware also has a complete line of fly boots, and the Rambo also has fly sheets. One of the nice things about the Horseware sheets is they do have the leg gussets for freedom of movement, and they just are really, really good sheets. So check them out at your local retailer or visit horseware.com. You are listening to Horses in the Morning. It's the Women in Rodeo edition, and I am helping out here this morning. We have Heather here as usual, and Jennifer's working on getting our next guest. But in the meantime, I have some, would you like a list? I kind of have a list here, Heather. Oop, did we lose Heather?
I'm here. Oh, absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. So this is a gloss. This was put together by Everything Horse in UK.
Okay.
So it's a blog called Everything Horse. And they, you know, we like to do this occasionally too, where you ask non-horsey people questions.
Okay.
And they give you answers that are just bizarre, you know, because they have no idea. So they did the same thing. And here's some of the answers they got. So a snaffle bit. They asked people what a snaffle bit was. Or a snaffle. They just asked people what a snaffle was. And a couple of the answers were a brand of horse treats, like a snaffle bar. So that was pretty good. A horse mask. A snaffle. Well, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
A type of apparatus or something for their nose. Well, that was close.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
close. Snaffle sounds a lot like snuffle, so I see where they got that one. Forelock. The point at which the horse's front leg co-contracts parallel to the floor. So there's somebody who had no idea what they were talking about. They had no idea what they were saying, but it sounded good. A full extension of the front legs. A forelock. How about when a horse gets a cramp in its front legs? Apparently, when you say forelock, people think of front legs. And a neck collar. How about a metal curry comb? Well, at least it has it. You know, it has comb in the word, right?
Yeah.
One of them was, and the answer was a type of comb with a curry on it. That's curry comb.
What did they think a curry is? A spicy curry?
I have no idea what a curry is. How about if it's a comb? It's a comb that makes curry. This person said, if it's a comb that makes curry, I want one. How about what a comb looks like after you brush the horse's tail once it's had a poo? Curry comb. Comb for specifically curry color horses. Would that be kind of like a tannish brown? Isn't curry like a tannish brown color?
Be.
I don't know. Curry color.
I'll have to go home and check the curry.
Oh, you know what? I'm really surprised the AQHA doesn't have curry color on its list. a green horse. A horse that hasn't ridden a race before. Well, yep, that would be a green horse. That's true. A lucky horse or one that poops a lot.
Okay.
A sustainable horse. Green horse, a sustainable horse. Yeah.
Well, my word.
Yeah, we all wish they were a little more sustainable. How about a throat lash? Here, a strap that you can pull the horse with to direct it when you're not on a horse. Well,
okay.
I guess you could in a way. like whiplash, but for horses. Throat lash. an encouraging movement to make the horse move faster. Well, I guess if you're lashing the horse, but you don't usually do that on the throat.
I like how they use the word encouraging.
Yeah, encouraging, yes. here's a good one for throat lash. The horse equivalent to the cone of shame. How about a fresh horse? A fresh horse. You own one of those. You own a fresh horse.
Yeah.
one that's been on a long weekend somewhere. let's see here, wither. A horse that's died.
Oh, gosh.
Wither, you know, wither. A horse that's died. How about wither is a technique used by horse riders to slow the horse down after racing. It's a behavior when the horse doesn't want to come out or get into its trailer. How about wind sucking? Do you know what wind sucking is? Have you ever seen a horse? Yeah.
Yes.
When a horse accidentally breathes when they're not supposed to.
They're not supposed to breathe?
Yeah, I guess. Going as fast as you can, wind sucking. Out of breath, burping your horse.
Okay.
Doesn't happen a whole lot. And that's the list that was from Everything Horse in the UK. So,
oh my goodness.
Have you ever done that? We've done that on the show occasionally and recorded it. By the way, if any listeners out there get a chance to do that, we've had listeners send us in the past. They've been really funny. So to go out and ask your horse friends questions. So go out and ask your non-horse friends, rather, horsey questions and see what the answers are and record it on your phone and send it to us.
That would be fun. That would be fun.
Yep. It's always a good time.
I don't want anyone to do that to me.
You know, even horse people sometimes, I mean, we do trivia here all the time, and even horse people sometimes don't know what some of these questions are.
Oh, gosh. Well, sometimes I'm the worst about being caught off guard. If, you know, there's questions, I know the answer, but you ask me and I'm nervous and I'm like total dummy. And then later I'm kicking myself. So I'm not good with that.
Well,
the ones that I like are the history questions. You see people doing polls with people with history questions. Those are embarrassing sometimes.
Now, Jennifer came up with a list too. It was the 7 reasons mosquitoes bite some people more than others.
I want to know this because the mosquitoes are horrible and I'm always the one getting bit.
Me too. Jennifer doesn't get bit. I get bit. We're standing right beside each other and they're all after me. And I know it's because I'm sweeter.
Well, we're going to find out if that's true or not.
Well, here are the 7 reasons that that mosquitoes bite more people than other people. So the first one is apparel. Mosquitoes actually use their eyes to target victims. So they apparently highly visual clothes. So if you're wearing colors, they're attracted to colors. If you wear dark colors, like navy and black, they're less attracted. But if you wear red, it makes you easier to spot.
Oh, boy.
I didn't know that mosquitoes could see color, so... There you go.
And it says, note to self, check camouflage for summer wear.
Yes. Yes. Look like a tree. You'll be fine. Blood type, apparently, is another one. It's all about the blood for mosquitoes. Well, how can they tell what blood type you have before they bite you?
That's weird.
It says here, adult mosquitoes survive on nectar for nourishment, but females rely on protein in our blood for the production of eggs. See, it's the women again. So it's... Little surprise that some blood types may be more desirable than others. Research has found, in fact, that people with type O blood are found to be twice as attractive.
1, 3, 9.
Oops. Oh, that was Jennifer accidentally, I think. so that type O blood are found to be twice as attractive to mosquitoes as those with type A blood. Hmm. Type B people were in the middle. In addition, 85% of people produce a secretion that signals what their blood type is. I didn't know that. Mosquitoes are drawn to those 85% more than non-secretors, regardless of
blood
type.
So they really can tell.
I guess.
Wow.
That's bizarre. I didn't know that. Gas. Okay.
Here we go.
Another reason mosquitoes might be attracted to you and not your friends. mosquitoes can sense carbon dioxide up to 160 feet away. So the more one exhales, it's not that kind of gas. Okay. So the more one exhales, the more attractive they become. Larger people exhale more. As a note, since human beings exhale carbon dioxide through the nose and mouth, mosquitoes are attracted to our heads, which explains the whole mosquitoes buzzing around our ears.
Hmm.
Huh.
Interesting.
Who knew? That's why I get them more than Jennifer. I'm bigger than she is.
So you know how you fix that?
Oh,
you whenever you go out for a walk and in bad mosquito weather is you get that little pipe that's on your snorkel and you extend it, and you extend it out about 6 feet. So all the carbon dioxide goes way far away from you.
It goes behind you.
Yeah.
The other thing that we have too, that you don't see a lot, you don't see anywhere else, is love bugs. And, you know, we get them here in Florida twice a year.
And such a pain.
Oh, it doesn't. And they are attracted to the exhaust in your car. That's why when you stop at red lights, they swarm your car. It's because they're actually attracted to the exhaust in car. And if anybody's not been through a love bug season in Florida, it's a joy. It's something that you have to experience, especially on your windshield.
Eating the paint off your car.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to get them off right away or they will eat the paint off the car.
Hey, you missed one on the mosquito thing. Did you see that mosquitoes have a taste for beer?
Oh,
so if you're drinking a beer, they're more prone to be around you.
Really?
Who knew? Who knew?
Crazy.
Apparently heat and sweat is something that they are attracted to as well. Pregnancies. Women with a bun in the oven are probably those least wanting to attract mosquitoes, but alas, are apparently more attractive to mosquitoes if you're pregnant.
That's pretty scary, considering what is that disease that they're spreading right now that's really bad for pregnant women and their babies?
Right.
Yeah,
down Zika. There, yeah, down there. Yeah.
That's awful. I didn't know that they were more susceptible. That's crazy.
They studied this in Africa, too. One study in Africa found that pregnant women are twice as attractive to malaria-carrying mosquitoes as non-pregnant women. And they think it's due to an increase, in carbon dioxide. Women in late pregnancy exhale 21% greater volume than because your chest is being crushed.
Yes. And you're out of breath very quickly.
So you think that's true?
That explains it.
Yep.
That explains it. Hey, I have a question on the mosquito thing.
Yeah.
What type of spray do you use on your horses?
Jennifer makes her own. Using catnip. Okay. She makes a catnip tea for keeping mosquitoes away. And Jennifer, what's the spray we're using right now? Ultra Shield. We use the Ultra Shield in the
blue bottle.
The blue bottle.
Although I found that all of the Ultra Shields work equally as well.
Yeah. I just use the ones in the blue bottle because you can spray upside down. They have the spray upside down bottles.
He has the aerosol one.
Yeah,
you can spray it upside down.
Yep.
Yeah. Nice.
So you can get underneath them. But yeah, that's the ones we're finding.
Although, right now. Yeah, Jamie swears by mosquito halt.
Okay. And that's what I have at the house. And the only thing, if I read it right, I think it told me to spray for 3 days and then twice a week. But I'm finding on the days in between. Yeah, unless I misread it, I think that's the one that said that. And on the days I'm not using it, it's not, I can't skip a day.
Yeah.
And then I had a cheaper version and it didn't work at all. You get what you pay for.
Yeah. You get what you pay for. And I've actually found that depending upon which one it is, and the trick here is you have to read the fine print on the labels. Mm-hmm. And I learned this from, EcoVet. Hello, best stuff in the world. It's a product called EcoVet and you don't find it very many places. ECO-VET is the website.
Okay.
You have to read the fine print on the labels because each product has to be tested by FDA regulations, which insect it will kill and or repel.
Okay.
So on the labeling, it will tell you which ones it does. And usually the one at the top is the one that works best, thus mosquito halt.
Right.
Because I have definitely found that like the Ultra Shield that we're using right now, great on flies, not so great on gnats and midges.
Mm.
I have an all natural one that I'm using right now on Nigel because I have to spray him so frequently. He has like no hair. That works really, really well on the midges, not so great on the flies. So read that fine print on there and it tells you which ones it works best on. And I would encourage you to check out EcoVet. Again, EcoVet doesn't have the toxic chemicals in it, especially if you have to use it a lot.
Right,
breathing in the mist and stuff like that. It's great stuff that Dr. Wendy Wing uses it a lot.
Okay.
So actually, a lot of our listeners and our auditors have gotten EcoVet now. You can find it at more and more stores that they're just ordering it online. So, it seems to be working. I know the one auditor spilled it all over herself the other day.
Oh, wow.
So, I don't know why that happened, but we also, while Jennifer's getting our next guest on, we want to give our best to everybody in West Virginia. You know, first it was Texas, and now it's West Virginia. They're just getting hammered with rain and flooding, and, you know, with the mountains there, tends to, you know, the water starts uphill, has to go downhill.
Yeah.
So it causes flooding in the valley.
I saw a video the other day, just the water gushing, and then there was like, I think it was like a house going by, and the house was on fire.
I know. That was a bizarre video, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, with Texas having so much rain this year, one of the people I follow on Facebook had come up with some new Olympic events.
Okay.
So here's some new Olympic events. Puddle jumping, in which the athlete attempts to find the fastest route through each field without stepping in puddles because they no longer have a pair of boots that is still waterproof. This is a timed event, additional points for style. So apparently it's a judged event also. How about mud running? A strength and endurance test in which the athlete tries to stay standing while piloting a young horse out to his field who hasn't been turned out in 2 days because of the rain.
Points that'd be interesting.
Yeah, points deducted for losing hold of your horse and or falling in the mud, which we have all done.
Yes.
Find a shoe, a game of skill and luck where the athlete must locate a missing shoe, human or equine, in any number of mud puddles throughout the entire pasture. Most shoes found is the winner. You know, The other one you can do with that, too, is fly masks. Our horses are always taking their fly masks off. And I'll tell you what, Jennifer's horse took his fly mask off the other day. I could not find it in that field anywhere. I don't know where it went. I have no idea where that fly mask went.
Oh, ours took hers off, and I found it, and it was with the dog. So it was destroyed.
Dog ate it?
Yep.
So how about this could be a new Olympic event in Texas or West Virginia right now, to turn out or leave in, a guessing game in which the athlete tries to predict the weather based on news reports, clouds in the sky, impending thunder, etc. The athlete who manages to guess correctly and get all their horses out for at least an hour without them being rained out on wins. Additional points added for each stall stripped and rebedded before having to bring the horses back inside. So you can kind of picture that game, actually. We have the same thing here in Florida. Now, we pretty much leave them out unless it's supposed to hail.
Right.
And then we'll bring them in. Do you do the same thing, probably?
Well, I have mine set up so that they can come and go. They can go in and out.
So
and my hope was that they would have the common sense to come in if it was a bad lightning storm.
No, they don't.
However, no. I had to go out the other day in the middle of the lightning and put them up. So I now know I can't do that with them.
They don't seem to pay attention to that. And they'll stand out there until it's really bad. And you know, then they'll,
yes.
Some of them might come in.
Yes, I kept watching. I'm like, okay, come on. And I have pine trees in my backyard. So, you know, they're lightning rods. And so I was concerned. I'm like, nope, I just can't do it. And so I brought them in.
And, we have Gina ready for us now if you want to take our next guest.
Okay, yes, we have Miss Rodeo America Executive Board Member and Miss Rodeo Wyoming Alumni, Gina Allen, with us. Welcome to the show, Gina.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Yes, ma'am. It's so great to have you on. So tell us, let's get started a little bit about you and your family. You were messaging me that you have three boys, so you're a busy mom. So tell us a little bit about your family life.
Yes. To say that I'm busy is a slight understatement. I have three boys that ages 9, 12, and 14. So you can imagine that my house is always loud and obnoxious, and there's usually about three times that many boys. Actually, at this time, we have one of them just had a birthday. So we have eight boys here at my house right now.
Oh, my word.
So it's always fun. We have a great time. I'm very fortunate to be a mother of all boys. Because we are always busy, always doing something. They're very active. They love to show livestock. That's kind of their passion right now. So They've gotten into that, and I put everything that I have into that as well, because that's one of my passions too. So we are very busy with that, and they're also into sports during school. So if it's not animals, it's sports, and we're always on the go.
Gina, I grew up in a family of four boys, so I know exactly what you're going through, having grown up in a family. But you know what? Having brothers, we all talk today. I think that sometimes, and I could be totally just making this up, but I think from what I've seen, sometimes brothers, when you grow up in a family of brothers, it is different than growing up if there's girls in the family. I don't know. And we, to this day, we all talk all the time, and, you know, we're really close. I think you develop kind of a closeness that sometimes you don't with sisters, that brothers and sisters don't have together.
And I have heard that, and I see the relationship between my boys, especially my two younger ones. They have a lot of common interests, and I see the two of them really bond when they sit down to play with their tractors. They're farm kids, and they love tractors, and we go to the implement store. We had to make two trips there yesterday while we were in town. Oh, can we please stop at Case? Can we please go to John Deere? They have a passion for that, and to see that relationship when they can sit down and play, I really enjoy seeing that, because it's not fighting.
Okay, I like to see when they get along. Tell you there's a practical reason for that, too. It's the same way I was the second to youngest, and my youngest brother, he and I were the closest because the older ones were a little bit older than us, but we also had to gang up to get things because they were older, right? So
that's true. Yeah.
We had to stick together, right? Because we'd never get seconds at the dinner table. Because they could just eat faster than us. And all of us eat fast to this day. I don't know if it's that way at your house, but we all eat fast this day. Our wives are always saying, why do you guys eat so fast? Because that's how you got seconds, is you had to eat fast. Is that true at your house? Do they eat fast?
That is very true. And it's amazing the amount of food that I go through.
I bet.
You know, I keep... Everybody tells me it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. But I'm very blessed. I have three healthy, strong boys that love to eat meat. And we're blessed that we live on a ranch and we have cattle and we have good beef to eat for them. So that's why they're healthy. And I'm glad that they're good eaters.
Not one of them became a vegetarian?
Thankfully, no. That was not an option. That's not an option around here.
You can't do that. You just
can't. Ew, you're lucky you didn't have that little girl who became a vegetarian and was the total outcast.
Oh, my goodness. Thankfully.
So you work a rodeo queen. So tell us a little bit about your time as queen and what titles you held.
Well, to be honest, I was not interested in becoming a rodeo queen. I wanted to go to the rodeo, and I wanted to compete. I loved my horses. I loved that aspect of it. And I was not a public speaker. I was petrified to be in front of people. I mean, petrified. I did not want to speak. I just wanted to ride my horse and do my thing. And somebody one time, you know, you should consider trying out for a local queen contest in Laramie, Wyoming. I was going to college there at that time. And I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. And they convinced me to do it. And I tell you, it turned my life around. I realized that I had a fear of public speaking. I took a class for that in college. And that instructor truly was the reason that I am where I am today, because I found that I do have a passion for people and for speaking in front of groups. And she helped me conquer that fear of mine. I tried out for that queen title. I was fortunate enough to win that. Went on to win Miss Rodeo Wyoming and then competed for Miss Rodeo America. And I was the second runner-up there in 1998. And even though I didn't win, all of those experiences, you know, they were stepping stones. And one of those lessons in life, you might not get what you want, but it's what you need in the end. And I was able to see what the program did for me, and I'm able to give back now to those young girls that are coming up and really enjoy my time with Miss Rodeo America, the organization, but the people are my family. So I love what I'm fortunate enough to be able to do with them.
I love that. And you said that it helped you get to where you are now. So tell us a little bit about what your role or your job is now that it helped you with.
I'm currently work as a special events and marketing coordinator for our local United Way here in Western Nebraska. And I deal with the media on a daily basis, I plan and promote three major fundraising events, and so I'm constantly working with people and sponsors, like I said, the media and the community. So I'm able to speak in front of people and tell the story about United Way and help them understand the importance of giving and bettering our community. And that's because of all those experiences that I had over the years as a queen, learning how to speak and how to promote an event or promote a sport that might always not be put into a positive light, but how you can turn those negatives into positives and help people understand what an importance it is.
Absolutely. We're speaking with a young lady that was talking about the differences in the pageants for the small town pageants versus a state pageant. What can you tell us the differences between the state pageants and an MRA pageant?
Well, you know, when I tried out for the Laramie Jubilee Days Queens, there was only a few of us there, and then went on to the state level, and I think there were 13 of us competing, and then you nearly triple that at Miss Rodeo America. So every level from local to state to the national pageant, obviously it's just larger in size and scale.
Right.
The production size is bigger, and it's, I guess with anything, when you have more money, you're able to do more things. But I think it all means the same thing, and it all brings the same positive qualities, whether there's one or two contestants or there's 50 contestants. It's just really the size of the stage that I think is the difference, because you still have to compete in the same categories and do the same types of things. It's just on a bigger scale.
Right. Right. Are there any special memories that stand out for you during your year as Miss Rodeo Wyoming?
That was a while ago. You know, I say that it was 1998, and it doesn't seem like that long ago, but oh my gosh, it's been a while. But that year, I will never forget that entire year. I think I've heard some girls, you know, that travel so hard and they almost get burnout, say, you know, I wouldn't pay a dime to do it, but I wouldn't take $1 million to do it again. I'm completely the opposite. I would do that again in a heartbeat. I loved the traveling. I loved meeting people and meeting the other queens and having that camaraderie. But my highlight is definitely Cheyenne Frontier Days. I will never forget when I made my queen's run down the track and Hadley Barrett introduced me as the hostess of Wyoming. And that line will resonate in my mind forever.
Wow.
Because I think that was just, you know, Frontier Days is worldwide.
Yeah.
To say that I was from Wyoming at that time was, it was an incredible feeling. And just to be a part of that, the state of Wyoming is very passionate about Frontier Days. But so is anyone who loves rodeo. They understand what a monumental rodeo that has been, and a historical rodeo. So it was just an honor to be a part of that.
That's definitely a special moment. Hopefully this next question doesn't throw you for a loop, but this just, I have to ask, you know, you said how special it is, your time as Miss Rodeo Wyoming. Can you speak to the girls that compete and maybe they don't make it, they don't get the title? There's still a process, and there's still, you know, there still has to be special moments and things that they learn. And I would hate to see girls, for fear of not gaining the crown, not step out and still take that chance. So what would you say to those girls?
You know, I was in that position, and I have spoke on this topic a few times because I feel so strongly about it. You don't always have to win the crown to win, you know, those lifelong experiences and to better you. Sometimes they say that the girls who don't win the crown, they go on to find their true calling and their passion before Miss Rodeo America does. And so when I didn't win, it's almost like, you know, it's a grieving process. You work so hard for many of us for years for that crown. And then in a split second, it's over. When
right.
they announce you as a runner-up or they don't announce your name at all, it's over. And, you have to be a little bit prepared. And I know it's hard for girls to prepare when they're preparing for the crown, to prepare not to win the crown, because they don't want to think of that. But I think you have to do that, and you have to be realistic that you might not win. So what are you going to do? How are you going to try to handle it? What have you gained through your experiences, through your year? What memories can you hold on to and realize that it was worth all of it? That's my fear, is that girls get to that point and it's over, they haven't won, and they say, why did I do this? It wasn't worth it. Well, that's when you have to sit down and reflect and say, this is what I gained out of this experience. It might be a friend. It might be a contact for a job. It might be a new life skill. Any of those things are definitely worth it. And you have to go through a small grieving process. It's almost like losing a loved one. You lost that goal, but that doesn't mean that you didn't gain something. So I encourage girls to, you know, maybe have a plan B, but a plan C and a plan D, and all the pros that you gained from those experiences sometimes could be more valuable than actually wearing that crown in the end. So it took me a little while to get to that, I'll be honest, because I did want
that crown. It's a process.
It is. It's a process. Right. And it's not going to happen by the next morning you wake up. You're not going to go, oh, okay, I didn't win. What's next?
And right, right.
Maybe some girls are like that, but in reality, probably not. So, you know, there's going to be that grieving process, and then it's going to be, okay, I didn't win, now what? And
perfect.
What did I learn that I can use? And that's, fortunately, I had met some very wonderful people that were able to lead me in a direction and mentor me. And that was one of the best things that I gained out of my experience.
Well, I knew you were the right one to ask that question. One last question. What was it about your title that made you want to come back and stay involved as a volunteer with MRA?
There were, honestly, a large number of people at the Miss Rodeo America pageant that made me feel like being Miss Rodeo Wyoming or being a contestant at Miss Rodeo America was the greatest thing ever. And I remember that. I still remember our chaperones and, you know, some of the ladies that were chairs of committees. They were so welcoming and loving, and you could tell they wanted you to compete well, but to have a great time. And I will never forget that. And I remember thinking, wow, they're here. They're volunteering their time. They're not even getting paid to do this. And I understand now, being on the other side of it, that rewarding feeling of being able to help somebody and have that great experience. So when I had the opportunity to come back, I was asked to come back and chair the horsemanship committee a few years after I had competed. I absolutely jumped on it. And Michelle Green, who was a former Miss Rodeo Wyoming and Miss Rodeo America, was a friend of ours. And she called me and she said, I need to step back and we'd really like you to come in and help. And that was an extreme honor to me that she even considered that I could be capable of doing that. And the second that I stepped in, I felt that warm welcome and that loving feeling again. And like I said, these people are, they're my family. And sometimes, you know, our volunteers come and go because their family life comes first, as it should. And so we make new friends and we have new family that come in. But being in a group of people who are passionate about giving back to this organization and helping better and enrich the lives of those young women, that's why we all do it. And it's fun to be with other people who feel the same way, and we're all headed in the same direction.
Absolutely. You know, I've since I've been doing this radio show, and I've been working with Miss Rodeo America and some of the ladies and all of the women that I've talked to, everyone is so warm and so nice. And it's been a joy. So definitely I could see why you have loved being a part of that. So.
And we have a good time. I mean, we have a lot of fun. You know, it's a volunteer thing. And I work for a volunteer organization, so I understand what it's like to be a volunteer.
Right.
And be on the other side of it as well. But we have a good time. And if you don't have fun doing it, you better just step away. Because
exactly.
If you get burnout from it, you're not going to be able to give back. So we make
and that's
sure
with
that we
anything.
Have a good time.
Yes, that's good advice for anything. So, well, thank you, Gina. It was very nice talking to you, and thanks for all of your insight. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity, and you all have a great day too.
Yes, ma'am. Take care.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Well, so that was a great little interview with Gina from Miss Rodeo America. And before we wrap, I wanted to leave you with a listener quote of the day that was sent in by Haven. Hardships prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. I liked that one.
But that means I am destined to be extraordinary because we've had some hardships along the way.
Me too. So that wraps up another great show. Jamie and Glenn will be back tomorrow. Be sure to stay connected. You can find Women in Rodeo at womeninrodeo.com, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can follow all Horse Radio Network shows at horseradionetwork.com. Their app is the easiest way to listen to the recorded version of the show. Just go to Horse Radio Network on iOS or Android. It's free and easy to download. Find the links to today's show and the show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. You can follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning and on Twitter at Horse Radio. Thanks again to our sponsors, Horseware, and see you at the rodeo.